You're listening to the official podcast of the New England Patriots. This is the Patriots roster report for Friday, April 21st, 2006. I'm Brian Lowe, along with Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale, and this is, of course, the Patriots roster report. It's a Friday. We're 8 days before the NFL draft, and since the last time we came to you a week ago with the Patriots roster report, well, there haven't been any transactions by the Patriots. No one coming, no one going. And we thought it would be a good opportunity, with today and next Friday being the two roster report podcasts before the draft, to fully take stock of the Patriots roster. We're going to break down the offense. We're going to break down the defense position by position, take a look at who the Patriots have, who they might be looking to target, what positions they might be looking to target at each and every position. So for today, we're going to talk about the offense, and I guess we're going to start out with quarterback. It seems to make sense to me. And
yeah, they need one.
I think they do need one. The Patriots, just what we're going to do for each position is tell you exactly who is on the Patriots roster, and you know there might be names that you might not be too familiar yet, but they are on the roster. And at quarterback, the Patriots have a guy named Tom Brady, number 12 in your program. He's the number one guy, I think it's safe to say. And Matt Cassel, the rookie from last year going into his second year, is also on the roster. And Todd Mortensen, believe it or not, is on the roster. He doesn't have a uniform number, but he's on the roster. Doug Flutie is a pending unrestricted free agent. So let's start there. And what do you guys think the Patriots are going to do at this position going forward in the offseason?
I should say, I really like this Brady kid.
I think he's
going to be something in the
NFL. I agree with Tom.
If they're patient with him, I think he could be a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback.
No, they need to add a veteran quarterback, I think.
But let me ask you this. Are you convinced now? I mean, obviously the only real issue here with this position is, are you convinced now or not that Cassel is the number two quarterback?
No.
Or not. All I'm convinced in is I'm willing to invest more time in him.
Yeah.
That's all I'm convinced.
I'm convinced that Matt Cassel will have an opportunity to compete for the number two spot with whoever else they bring.
Yeah, I mean, he had that opportunity last year.
But no, I've liked what I've seen in short doses, but that's not to say if another quarterback is out there that I'm interested in, I'm certainly not locked into Matt Cassel for anything.
You're not necessarily comfortable with, say, a seventh round quarterback being drafted next week and being the number three guy and Cassel's number two.
I think they need a veteran guy,
yeah. Whether that's Flutie being re-signed or somebody else.
Type guy.
You want somebody else to come in.
The way I look at it is,
I don't. I'm happy with Cassel.
I'd like a guy. In a, you know, Jay Fiedler is a name I've thrown out there. I know he's still out there. I don't know what his exact health status is.
Which is
but
a concern.
I'd like a veteran guy for a short stint of injury, and that is Brady goes down and he's going to miss a week.
Right.
I want a veteran to come in and play. If Brady goes down and I know he's going to miss 8 weeks, 10 weeks, I'm going Matt Cassel and developing him moving forward.
In that regard, I totally agree with Andy. Long term, I'd rather see, you know, if Brady goes down in September and he's going to be out for the year, I'd rather see Cassel play the last 12 games. If it's going to be a 3 week period where maybe he's got a sprained knee that he just can't play with for two or three games, then I'd rather have a veteran playing.
But Cassel, in my mind, has the opportunity to win that role as well. I bring you into camp, it's Brady, Cassel, and a veteran, and maybe it's 2001 where I see that Brady passes
up
a Damian Pollard.
Do you think Brady along those lines?
Oh, yeah. I think they put it as an open competition.
I think he's got a ways to go. I think you guys are jumping way ahead of yourself. He's played one game in, what, 5-6 years?
And what had Brady done?
Right. Brady had done nothing, and he passed Damon Hewitt on the depth chart.
Are you kidding me? Brady played his whole career at Michigan.
Of course.
Give me a break. It's not even close.
He had done it.
I'm talking about
college. I'm not sure it's not even close.
He hasn't played since high school.
He played last year. He played okay.
In theory, you're looking at Cassel as, like what Paul said, if Brady goes down, who would you want? Would you want it to be Cassel, or would you want it to be...
Oh, yeah. I don't mind if Brady goes down early in the season, then going to Cassel because, you know, you want to get a look at him. I'm talking about, I think you still need a veteran in here, like they said, in case Brady goes down for 2 or 3 weeks to hold everything into place.
And a legit veteran, not Doug Flutie, I'm not even sure they wanted him in last year. So that's why I don't think you've seen him resign.
I think what we're probably going to see is we have the three quarterbacks that we mentioned. They're probably going to bring in a veteran of some sort, and they're probably going to bring in another rookie, whether it's a late round draft pick or a free agent. There'll probably be five quarterbacks at the start of training.
We're going to have a draft pick because basically that's generally what they do. Four out of six drafts, I think they've drafted a quarterback.
All right, let's move on to the offensive backfield and at running
Ryan's
back.
Ryan's giving us the wrap it up sign.
That's right. You're going to see a few more of those, I believe. At running back, you got Corey Dillon, you got Kevin Faulk, you got Earl Charles, and then the fullbacks are Heath Evans and Patrick Pat. So we'll lump all those five in together. And the interesting thing is
now, Tom, if you're talking about running backs, now I'm giving you the wrap it up
sign. So we're done
sign.
With running backs. Okay, thanks, Tom. Let's move. No, but what do you guys think in terms of running backs? Obviously, their top three in terms of running backs and fullbacks are all either 29, 28, 29, 30, looking for an infusion of youth, perhaps.
I just think this thing where Dylan can't lose it all in 1 year is ridiculous. And I'll say the argument that I always say, if somebody can combat it, I'd love to hear it. Bill Belichick is a smart coach. If Corey Dillon was hurt at the end of last year, why does he run him 26 times in a meaningless game against the Jets? Why? If he's injured and needs time and needs rest before the playoffs. So I think Dillon's on the decline. I think they need to get a young running back in here, not just to replace Dillon, but what if Dillon is healthy and then gets injured and is out for 8 weeks?
Right. Who do you rely on? Do you rely on anyone else that's currently on the roster?
No.
Probably not, to be your every down back.
Well, that's why I think they need a legit running back. They don't need another guy like a Patrick Pass or a Kevin Faulk or even a Heath Evans who can do some things. And a guy that's in my mind is Joseph Addai, is a name that's out there. We've talked a little bit about in prospect
LSU
reports. He's a guy that I don't feel like if Corey Dillon goes down, I want him to come in and get 25 carries. And I don't want another one of those mid-round, does a couple things well. I'm looking for a legitimate backup-type running back, something I think they've lacked for a while.
Yeah, in this position, I think we all three are in total agreement. I'm looking for the running back of the future here. I think that there's some guys available. I'm not saying that they have to draft a running back in the first round. Now, if the value's not there where they want it, then by no means am I advocating taking a running back just specifically to take a running back. But if you have an opportunity to get one of these guys, and, you know, Reggie Bush could be the only running back off the board when the Patriots draft at 21 if they stay put. I think that one of those guys might be value at 21.
Oh, yeah.
So you decide which one out of those guys is the best in your mind, whether it be D'Angelo Williams or Maroney or Lindale White. And, you know, Tom was talking to Bill, you know, during his pre-draft press conference about, you know, how far you think White may have dropped, or would you take him off your board, or you think he's out of the first round. And those notions are laughable. I mean, it's a hamstring pull. It's not an injury that would be permanent. It's not a permanently disabling injury, and as Belichick said, you're looking for a guy for a lot longer than just the first day of training camp. And, you know, certainly White, you know, based on his college production. Now, if you don't think that he's that good of a player, then that's a different story, but the injury situation should
We've seen them, when we thought they didn't have a legit backup running back, go into a season and been comfortable waiting for a Mike Cloud or signing somebody in week six who comes in, and they throw him out there and say, here's your 10 carries, and you're a starting running back, and just kind of do it on the fly. So I don't think it's a lock that they feel like they need to get a backup
running
back right
now. No, I don't think it's a lock either. And I think that we've seen that in the past. And look at, you know, look, I think it's not necessarily something that you can really criticize wholeheartedly here. Tom Brady is the focal point of the offense.
Right,
and as long as that remains the case, you know, it was the case when Antoine Smith was the running back, it was the case when Kevin Faulk was the running back, and it was the case when Corey Dillon was running for 1,600 yards. I mean, I guess they figure they can get by as long as they have
Tom
Brady.
Tom Brady got killed last year. If he takes the same kind of punishment again this year, he could be in trouble.
I'm giving the wrap-up signal, Tom.
It.
Is that
I'm
okay
done.
With you?
I'm all done.
Let's go to wide receivers. We'll talk about wide receivers and tight ends. At wideout, you know,
I don't think they need any help at wide receiver. I'm really happy.
I think they're they do.
Really like this Bam Childress kid.
Well, believe it or not, when it comes to quantity, they have 9 wide receivers on their roster. Believe it or not, Deion Branch, Rashay Caldwell, Troy Brown, Bethel Johnson, Bam Childress, and then these other 4 are Michael McGrew, Rich Musinski, Zuriel Smith, and John Stone.
And there's the problem. You included Bam Childress not in the other 4, but in your top 5, and that is the exact reason why they are dire need of a wide receiver.
No, Paul said they're not.
No, I think they're
Paul
fine.
Said they're fine.
I agree. But Zuriel Smith, you know, John
doing
Stone.
Ripping it up in Europe, right?
Is he?
I think he did some.
No,
I think he had
one
big
game.
But but basically, obviously, they're going to need some quality, some depth. Not just depth. I mean, they need some 2 or 3s at wide receiver.
I don't know where they're going to get them, though. You know, I mean, the one thing I noticed last year when Givens was injured, when you double Deion Branch, it really hurts this offense because he's not a big guy. He has trouble beating double teams. So if you don't have a legitimate number 2, teams are going to double him, and that's going to cause problems for the passing
game. And right now,
Maurice Stovall.
He's your number two.
He comes in, plays your number two, has a year in your system already thanks to the fact that he played under Charlie Weiss.
That's an awful lot to ask of a rookie.
Well, I'll tell you,
he's not a rookie. He was a rookie at Notre Dame last year.
I'll tell you what concerns me even more regarding Tom's point.
I'm taking a Tom Casale book it mentality.
But what concerns me even more concerning Tom's point about Branch's inability or troubles last year against double teams is the fact that he's talked a little bit in this offseason about not liking those double teams and having a hard time with it. That tells me that it's on his mind and it's bothered him. And I think that he feels like if they don't do something to get him some help, that's something that mentally could affect him going forward. Now, Troy Brown, we all know, is the consummate professional. He can play, but are his days as a true number two complimentary receiver over? I think they are.
Yeah.
So you need to find somewhere, and I agree with Tom, Maurice Stovall might be a nice player. Jason Avant, you know, all these other guys, you know, Mike Haas, or, you know, Derek Hagan. There's a lot of names that you're going to hear, probably second, third round kind of draft picks. I think it's asking an awful lot of a guy like that to come in and be a starter opposite Deion Branch and take pressure, have an impact in taking pressure off Branch.
And they'll probably, between 11 draft picks and then rookie free agents, you got to figure there'll be several, maybe two or three wide receivers coming in the rookie camp in a couple weeks, which will probably make for some really good competition, and that's probably what they're looking at. The competition will build some of these guys up, and someone will surface as a two at some point this year.
That's probably their theory, some level you have to just have talented guys.
No
competition is not always going to bring elite play out of a guy who doesn't have elite talent.
That's right.
And before Brian gives us the wrap-up on wide receivers, we probably should also go to the pro alternatives here and Fred Kirsch's, fantasy situations where, there's rumors of, who, Jimmy Smith?
Dante Stallworth.
Ashley Lalee. Dante
Javon
Stallworth.
Walker
Javon Walker. There's guys that are currently on rosters that may or may not become available in the coming months and weeks and months, and maybe one or two of those guys is on the Patriots' radar. Who knows?
Talking about tight ends, well, if we work on receivers as well, I think a very intriguing position in terms of the rest of this offseason. They have Daniel Graham and Benjamin Watson are the only two tight ends on their roster. Graham set to be a free agent a year from now. Both of these guys have had some injury history in their
good point
4 and 2 years respectively, and this is a team that generally likes to use two tight ends, which means you really need to have at least three reliable
tight ends. You can't have a two tight end offense as your base set
and only have
two tight ends
exactly
on the roster.
So Christian Fourier obviously has been here the last 4 years, and there's been some good mixing and matching. Where do they go for a third or fourth tight end the rest of the way?
Looking at the middle rounds of the draft. Yeah, there's a lot of good middle round tight end prospects in this draft, and I think they'll nab one of them, groom them to be that third blocking receiving tight end.
Where's your boy Dave Thomas?
Yeah, David Thomas.
Yeah,
where is he?
Third?
Fourth?
Fourth, probably.
And when we talked about tight ends in the our draft podcast recently, that was a name that you definitely brought up.
Troy
Bieniemy was Andy's
That's
guy.
Andy's
long
guy
snapper as well. Back up in two
Lonnie
positions. Versatility.
Right. But I just think it's such an intriguing position as well, because the Patriots did take a tight end in the first round twice over a 3-year period. I'm not saying they're going to do that again this time. Every even numbered year, they take a tight end in the first round. That's not what I'm saying.
And when Kentucky wins the national title? Sorry.
I don't know about that one. I certainly would not be surprised if they take one on the first day.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up with two tight ends.
I wouldn't either.
Well,
right,
they're going to get a couple, whether it's rookie free agents or a veteran guy you've never really heard of. There'll be a much longer list
and
of tight ends for camp.
And they've brought in some guys in the Belichick-Pioli era that maybe aren't household names that wound up either staying or being play. I mean, like Chris Eitzman way back when, Rod Trafford, didn't stay in New England, but he ended up sticking around in Buffalo for a little bit. So there were guys that maybe were some intriguing, skill sets that clearly were more than just your average run-of-the-mill undrafted rookie free agent types that just kind of disappear and are never to be heard from
again. But those, maybe William & Mary's Jai Lewis ends up in New
England.
George Mason's
The guy from UConn.
Yeah, sorry,
the guy from UConn. Because tight end is a position, it's a camp position. It's the linebacker tight end guys that can play special teams, play late in the game, and do whatever you ask them to do. So it's you get bodies there a
right,
lot.
Right, and I just think that whether it's a veteran or a rookie, they will be going into the 2006 season, the first day, someone who's not currently on the roster will be someone who they are going to rely on in game one.
I would say that's a virtual lock.
Virtual lock.
They also lost, just one quick thing too. No, I'm going to keep going.
Okay.
One quick thing. They lost Tom Ashworth, so he was the fallback tight end guy.
But they still have Mike Vrabel.
Yeah. Right. But do you want Mike Vrabel out? We've seen that how that leads down a bad road when you have Richard Seymour playing fullback.
But not only that, but those are different positions. Tom Ashworth and Mike Vrabel role at tight end with two different positions.
And I know you still have Russ Hochstein, and maybe he's the guy that you throw out there. But
there's the guy that
Ashworth was the guy that was playing the role late in the year as the third, fourth tight end.
But don't forget, Hochstein had to be a starter.
Right.
Thank you for bringing up Hochstein. we move on to offensive
line. I wanted to segue for you. You haven't been doing it very well.
Thank you.
You've just been rolling your finger back and forth telling us to wrap it up.
Well, if it was, if
I didn't know we were punching, I didn't know we were punching the clock.
I wouldn't do that. Let's talk about the offensive line. Nick Kazier, Dan Copen, Matt Light, Logan Mankin, Stephen Neal, your perspective. If healthy.
If all healthy, that's a solid starting five.
Let's just talk about who else is on the roster. You got Brandon Gorin, Russ Hochstein, Gene Merchkowski, who are probably the next line of backups. And then there's Wesley Britt, Jeff Roll, Nick Stites, Ross Tucker, and Billy Yates. Injuries, obviously, are the critical component here because both Matt Light and Dan Copen missed large parts of the season last year. Who knows where they are right now?
And don't be surprised if they bring in a center through the draft. Copen is a free agent next year.
Just like Ray
and,
saying, yeah.
And you never know how the Patriots are viewing these things. If they think they're going to lose them, they could bring in a center first day, second day of the draft.
And they're probably going to make Copen show them that he is 100%
right.
Before they offer him anything. And in Copen's side, if the Patriots do try to say, well, we know you're hurt now, but we're going to give you a show of faith, trying to maybe sign him for a little bit less than it, Copen will probably balk at that, saying, I'm going to show them that I'm healthy and make a little bit more. Don't forget, he was a fifth-round pick. He hasn't really made significant money in NFL circles, so he's probably going to be reluctant to sign anything until he shows that he's 100% back, recovered from that torn rotator cuff that he suffered.
And what's always interesting with the Patriots' offensive line is you got the developmental guys. You had like Ashworth, Merchkowski, Hochstein, Neal, guys who came here as absolute no-names. Maybe they were drafted by other teams, but they spend a year or two on the practice squad here or as backups. It's always interesting to see who might be the next one, the next tier.
Do you think
maybe
of Wesley Britt?
Maybe it's Wesley Britt.
Merchkowski is the logical. He's been here forever, it seems now, without...
Kusky.
So you always, so you always wonder who, you know, if to look at the depth on the offensive line, who that next tier of guys are. There's probably obviously going to be a handful of rookies, whether they're free agents or a couple of draft picks coming in, and who the next line is of the, in terms of depth.
And so, if the guys is Merchkowski ready to bump up and be your interior backup, therefore the guy you're bringing in is just a Merchkowski type, whether it's practice squad or inactive. So. But if Merchkowski isn't ready to bump up, now you're looking for a guy who's ready to be a backup away.
That's right. Okay, definitely some interesting discussion here. We talked about the offense on the Patriots roster right now. There's 32 guys on offense, 32 guys on defense, 4 specialists. So
good news
Friday,
is they're already under the first line of cuts.
That's right. Next Friday, we're going to talk about the defense, and we'll also talk about specialists as well. Now, keep in mind, we've got 2 more draft prospect review podcast next week. We're going to be talking about quarterbacks and specialists, so be sure to join us Tuesday and Thursday next week. Patriots.com is your headquarters for everything draft related on draft weekend, but also between now and then, all the developments, so be sure to check out Patriots.com. That's going to wrap up this edition of the Patriots Roster Report. For Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale, I'm Brian Lowe. Be sure to join us again next week for the Patriots Roster Report. Thanks for listening.